Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, I can get with this.
Who's we this? Know you don't know. Take a guess. It's
Ice
the theme
Cube.
Of the show. Boy,
Ice
you are
Cube,
a bad
baby.
Man. That's your set. That's your little thing you wanted. Your Ask
Dr.
Steiny.
Dre, bro.
This is a Dr. Dre beat.
It's Dr.
Chronic
Dre.
2001,
chief.
Right?
Now, when I get it wrong, it's not a big deal. But when you correct me and you're still wrong, that's a big
that's
deal.
That's a big issue.
What did I say?
It's Ice Cube.
You said Ice Cube.
I said Friday. I think they played this on Friday. Right?
No. Let's go to Bobby.
No, Goo.
Bobby's
no.
in Los Altos.
You're wrong.
He'll add some calm to the show. What's going on, Bobby? How you doing, man?
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. First of all, I want to thank you for biting the bullet, not going to the holiday party. If you guys weren't on the air, I don't know what the good people of the Bay Area would be doing with themselves. So thank you for sacrificing your holiday party to spend time with the caller.
All right.
Real quickly, I wanted to real quickly on Hater Proof, and then I'd like to share a story on John Gruden. Hater Proof makes me laugh. He's a good natured troll, obviously, and I guarantee you, he probably follows the Niners 90% harder than any other Niner diehards. I think the funniest part about him was when he said it was a phantom. What did he say? Phantom 11-2.
Yes, that's correct.
Basically, the rest of the call, he was just complimenting every aspect of the Niners, so it made me laugh. Anyway, I want to share with you, if you'll entertain me, a story about John Gruden. And this is way back in the day when he was the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I was on a flight. I used to live in Chicago, from Chicago to Tampa. And this was in the summer. I believe it was the summer after he won the Super Bowl. And lo and behold, John Gruden is sitting next to me on the plane. So we, unfortunately, it was like storms and stuff like that. So we were sitting in the tarmac in Chicago on the plane for like 3 hours, and then we had to fly to Tampa. So I was with this dude for like 9 hours, sitting next to him with no escape, right? Every person, when they're bored, and hey, coach, whatever. So, you know, it was nice talking to him. But after a certain point, I really had nothing to say to him, but he would not stop just talking to me because, you know, he's just a chatty fellow. So eventually I just, you know, open my laptop and pretend I'm doing something just so I can get a little mental break. I look over and he's drawing X and O's plays. So that guy is as hardcore as you say, but he's a very nice guy because when we got in around 1 a.m. into Tampa, he knew I was from out of town and he offered to drive me to the hotel that I was staying at.
Oh, wow.
1 a.m.
What a stand-up
so
guy.
So here's the thing, right? So at the end, he goes, hey, he hands me a business card. He says, look, if you're ever in Tampa, call this number and, you know, I'll hook you up with some seats, right? Well, of course, I'm never going to end up there. And the business card cracks me up because it says John Gruden head coach, right? But I'm never.
You didn't put a team on it, probably. It just said head coach.
Yeah, so one day they're traveling to play the Bears, right? So I call up this number. This is like 4 or 5 years later. I call up the number. Hey, you know, I used to sit next to Coach Gruden. He told me, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, since you guys are visiting, do you think you could hook me up with some tickets? And, you know, he said, let me get back to you. And he said, you know, he calls me back and says, you know, to be honest with you, Coach Gruden doesn't remember this conversation at all, but he'll honor it. And he said, but I just want you to know, visitor tickets are not very good. And to that fact, I was probably in that Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, family section, and it was a terrible section of the stadium. But I just want to say, Coach Gruden, he's a very nice guy. He is as amiable as he appears, you know, on Monday Night Football. And that's sort of my story. Thank you for listening to me.
Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate the call. Have a great weekend.
Great weekend, Bobby. Wow. You are brought to you. He was brought to you by the Dow Pack.
That's a great story.
Dow Pack helps make smarter calls.
What are you gonna, hey, Goo, what are you gonna remember about the Raiders? About the college? Like what? I kind of mentioned this earlier about David Stern. Like, what do you get? You know, Raiders. How you feeling right now? How you feeling about the Raiders?
I'm sick to my stomach, and I've been sick to my stomach of this whole story. Share with you maybe a year ago that I was in fairy tale land and thought something was going to get worked out. It's sickening. But I will say this about my memory. It is the best home field advantage in pro football. Forget Lambeau, the black hole.
Arrowhead Stadium?
Yeah, but they've been down for so long. I'm just talking about the black hole. And I hadn't, you know, had to go in their parking lot and do what you like to do and mingle. I did that in San Francisco not too long ago with Bonte and Shasky. But what I'm saying, the bottom line is you meet doctors, street people from whatever walk of life when you tailgate at the Oakland Coliseum. The black hole is real. And when they were in their heyday going to the Super Bowl and AFC Championship, it was really a thing. The announcers, it wasn't fraudulent. It was real. So when you say that, I feel like a part of Oakland's dying that the Raiders are on their way out of town. So it makes me sick.
It does make me sick. I mean, first game I attended at Oakland was 06 or 07. They played the Chiefs. They lost that game. And Larry Johnson was in that game for the Kansas City Chiefs, lead running back. But I just remember walking into that stadium and walking through the tailgate, and I was like, my God, I've never seen anything like this. You had the face paint. You had the jerseys. And it was cracking out.
It was real.
It was real. They had the party. They had the speakers. I mean, it was the best tailgate I've ever seen, been a part of, walked through. And in the environment at the game, it was just, you're into it, man. The fans are into it. The beats are blaring. It was a party. It was an environment. It was just, it was unreal. And it was like, man, Oakland's got their team. It had that Oakland flavor. And then just the fact that, well, no matter how they couldn't get a stadium done or just the whole move, man. It's just like Oakland getting punched in the gut again. They don't deserve it. The fans don't deserve this. They've already moved to L.A. They came back, and then you're leaving again.
And the Warriors have just left.
I mean, there was nothing like an Oakland Raiders game. And I just going a few weeks ago, you're walking through the tailgates at an Oakland Raiders game. And it's like, man, it's popping out here. How can they leave this? How can they leave the black hole? How can you leave this home field advantage? So it's just from being it from San Francisco, Steiny, and I think you know this, it's just I do feel sorry for the fan base. I feel sorry for the people who ride or died with the Oakland Raiders. We had Alan call in yesterday when Guru left. Alan, you know Alan, worked at the Warriors games and the A's games. He's right there.
Oh, yeah.
And he was choking up on the air because he's been there for 22 years.
Alan call.
And it was just like, damn, man. People are losing jobs. Yeah. People are losing their livelihood over the Raiders leaving. That was their – for 4 months, 5 months, man, their weekends were booked going to the Coliseum. And it's just – it doesn't feel right that they're leaving and this is the last home game on a Sunday. Like, it just doesn't feel right.
One of the coolest things I've always thought is sometimes the Raiders will play at 1 o'clock if I'm going to go down there to tailgate. Or sometimes I'm driving down 880 to golf on a Sunday morning, maybe 9 o'clock in the morning. And you start driving down 880 south and you just start seeing all this smoke and you start smelling meat, and as you're there, it's just everybody was out grilling. There was like a smoke over the entire parking lot. And then, you know, I remember going to a Raiders game my first time for a tailgate. You always hear Raider fans, ought to be careful. That was such a joke.
Yep.
I mean, I never felt one tinge of a fright being in a Raiders tailgate. It was unbelievably fun. And I went to more tailgates in the last 2 or 3 years than I had in the previous 10 or 15. And they're just phenomenal. And this is like the other part. So they have the Raiders have the best tailgates going.
No doubt.
In Oakland. So do you hear, you know what the situation's going to be like in Vegas?
They what, 2,500 or they don't even got enough parking.
So the tailgate, they have tailgate lots, okay?
All right.
They'll be 5 to 7 miles away from the stadium.
Oh, Lord.
And how about this? How about this? You got to pay for the shuttle.
I'm out.
You got to pay
for the shuttle. Yeah, I'm out.
That's an absolute
That's
joke.
Corporate. I'm out. It's not what's up. What we just described.
There's no parking.
Exactly. That. Come on.
That's a joke.
That's not even tailgating when money's involved. Good God.
I wonder how many Raider fans are going to turn their back on the organization. Will they follow them to Vegas?
I swear I was thinking that, B.
You know, are they going to follow them?
I know I would because the players had nothing to do with this decision. Right. I love the sport, so I would follow. And if we get Ice Cube on, we can ask him because they left L.A.,
yep.
But it seems like he's still on board, so it's just hard. But my last thing, not to be redundant, Steiny, again, you cannot minimize whatever background or status you were at. When you were at a Raider tailgate, that was the one common theme. You were family, and the bond was the silver and black. And, I mean, just the fact that that's not going to be in the Bay anymore in Oakland on 66th Ave is disheartening.
Joe in Palo Alto. What's going on, Joe? How you doing, man?
How you gentlemen doing?
So doing well.
I'm going to tell a little story. I took my son to his first game, first radio game, about 8 years ago. He's about 5 years old. And we're losing, you know. We're second deck, and a bunch of guys, a bunch of fellas, all, you know, all we always go and tailgate, have a good time, the Raider buggy. And out of nowhere, my son, 5 years old, just starts chanting Raiders. Raiders. I started chanting Raiders. In about 2-3 minutes, my son had that whole stadium screaming Raiders. I mean, it was electric. I mean, he was so juiced. It was amazing how it just happened. Raiders scored a touchdown. Then the Raiders scored another touchdown. It was like we brought them back. My little boy, 5 years old, first Raider game, just brought him back from the dead. And it was like one of the most exciting and memorable games I've ever seen in my life.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And especially because you do it with your son. Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate you sharing that. You know, but there's so many, like, what's amazing, not amazing, but there's so many layers to this thing with the Raiders. One of them is if it was supposed to be the last game last year this time.
Yeah, I got you.
So there's a part of what's going on right now where the Raiders are leaving and nobody cares because you thought you're going through the same thing twice. And
the initial hurt was there.
And I always say this, you know, like, okay, so I've been in Oakland now about 15 years, been in the Bay I've been in Oakland 20 years, been in the Bay 30. And so I consider myself an Oakland resident, obviously. I'm not a native. I wasn't born there, so I don't have as much skin in the game. But the one thing about Oakland is, like, they're not going to be beholden to a football team. Like they're not going to be needy. Like Oakland, the city of Oakland is not, the people who live there, they're not needy. They're not going to say, well, everything depends on the Raiders staying. And if the Raiders don't stay, we're going to lose some of our identity. Like, that's the thing about Oakland. If you don't want to be here, Oakland people are not going to beg you to stay. Because the people who have come to Oakland and live there, and they love it enough that they stay there, like, we're not begging anybody to stay in Oakland. We're lucky to live here.
Yeah, and even if you did, it wouldn't help. But so, I do understand it.
That's where I'm kind of torn.
Yeah.
Like, I wish the Raiders would stay. On the other hand, it's like, I'm not begging them. I'm not going to beg them to stay. So let's go to Raider G. Raider G's in San Leandro. What's going on, Raider G? And that's just the way I feel. I get everybody's got a different feeling. I get it. I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong. What's up, Raider G?
Yeah, I'm kind of wrote them off. I've been a fan for 55 years. I'm 60 years old. I've been a fan since I was 5 years old. Every year we'd go, it'd be us or Kansas City going for the AFC West division title. And such great games were there, history. I was there for the Brett Favre game when day after he lit it up when his dad died. And they wouldn't let me show the sign when Callahan was getting fired. ABC, adios Bill Callahan. The Kansas City game in 2001, it rained the whole entire game. you couldn't even see the logo in the field. I mean, it's just great memories, but they hurt me this time. I mean, they left. I'm mad at the mayor because she didn't pull her weight to help them get a field. They just pulled the heart out of Oakland, if you ask me. The Bay Area, not just Oakland.
Right. Thanks, Raider G. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. 408 says, Steiny, you're wrong. People do care. Just watch when they play their first game in Vegas. I'm not, of course, there's a lot of people that care. A lot of people that care. But I'm saying, I'm just expressing my personal view as a guy who's lived in Oakland for 20 years. That's all.
And you'll still root for the team, or?
No. Why? Why would I root for them?
You've been doing something for your whole, you know, some people have rooted for their team their whole life.
No, but I get it. There's a ton of people that say no matter where they play, they're going to love the Raiders.
Right.
Because it's more about the Raiders than the city.
Right. It's a national brand, apparently. And I get that.
And it's your brand.
Man, it's just to have them leave when they played all those iconic games in the 70s, go to L.A., come back when they couldn't get things done in L.A. I felt like Oakland was used by the Raiders. They were absolutely used by them. And you know what? It just sucks. It sucks not having two pro football teams out here. It sucks not being able to go to that black hole and see that environment. I feel bad for them, man. I'm sorry, man. I can't. It's a sickening feeling.
No more Battle of the Bay.
Oh, it's sad, man. It's sad. All these kids who grew up rooting for these guys, and all of a sudden that team's in Vegas. Like, will their games even be aired in the Bay Area market anymore?
Why would they, Stoney? Like, if we had to bet right now, I
don't know.
I don't understand.
I mean, what's the media going to do? Is any Bay Area fan going to go down and cover them for the next year?
I know.
But I don't think so.
Like, what's Jerry McDonald and Vic Taffer and all those guys going to do?
All the great ones.
I don't know. This is from Chris Biederman, Sacramento Bee. The 49ers injury list starting to become clear. No Richard Sherman, no Jaquaski Tartt. No Kaywan Williams for the 49ers. It looks like the 49ers will be missing 60% of its secondary on Sunday. 60%.
Damn.
That's all right. Yeah. That's all right. They still have their defensive line.
There's levels to this, Donnie.
What do you mean?
There's levels to a defense, and the defensive line is one level. That's secondary, 60%. You're going to have you, me, and Bonte out there trying to guard the Falcon receivers.
Julio Jones.
Man.
Oof. I don't like it.
Like, how soon does it get back to 100? I guess because you got two important games coming up after Atlanta. I know you don't want to look ahead, but how long does this linger? And again, is your new defense, Jimmy Garoppolo, and this fantastic offense that's found its rhythm?
Yeah, I don't.
That very well may be the story of the 2019 Niners. Started off with defense, ended up with offense.
That may be. Let's go to Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown's in Menlo Park. How you doing, Mr. Brown?
Doing good. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Sure.
Just real quick, man, I don't like how everyone's hating on the Raiders and the organization and even Mark Davis. I don't think people understand that the city of Oakland doesn't have the money to fund a stadium, and Mark Davis and even Al Davis are not billionaire owners like all the other owners in the league. So Mark Davis taking the opportunity to go to Vegas and have a great venue for the franchise is actually a great thing, man. It's a great thing for the Raider organization. And I give him credit, too, for not going to L.A. and sharing the stadium like the Chargers do with the Rams. I mean, he could have done that, but how is that working out, you know? So I just want people to understand that it's a good thing for the franchise, man. And going forward, that venue is going to be sold out every night in Vegas.
Well,
night.
We'll see. We'll see, Mr. Brown. I'm not sure.
You think it'd be a neutral crowd in Vegas? Because Vegas has embraced the Vegas Golden Knights, the hockey team,
no doubt.
But one image I do have in my brain is when they did make the Stanley Cup Finals in their expansion year against the Capitals. That last game, it may have been game 6 or game 5, I forget when the Capitals won it, but it was in Vegas, and there was nothing but Capital jerseys at the T-Mobile Center. It had to be 50-50 in the Stanley Cup final game. So That could be a destination for road teams to where, you know, when the Niners play the Raiders, there's going to be a lot of red. When the Chiefs go there, they want to get out of Kansas City. Fan base goes. Like, I wonder if they're going to truly have a home field advantage in Las Vegas.
And seeing them play inside.
Ugh. Yeah,
in a dome.
It is a Football Friday brought to you by Xfinity. Let's go to Lobo. Lobo's in Fairfield. He's been waiting patiently. What's going on, Lobo? How you doing, man?
I'm all right, guys. You guys can hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a story. It's not as good as these other guys. It's actually kind of funny. I'm a FedEx driver, and one day I was covering for a sick driver who's in the Oakland Hills. I've never done the area before, but one of the other drivers, he said, oh, man, you might get lucky. Andre Iguodala lives on that route. And he orders stuff all the time. I said, okay. So I'm going, I'm doing the route, and I get to this house, and I pull out the box, and it says Andre Iguodala. I'm like, jackpot. I finally get to meet somebody. And I go, and I knock on the door, and the box doesn't require a signature, but I'm like, hey, I'm going to ask for a signature. I'm going to have him sign one of these door tags. I'm going to frame it, all that. And his sister answers the door. And I say, hey, I have a package for Andre Iguodala. And she takes it, and I say, well, I need a signature from him. He has to sign this thing. And she said, no, he doesn't. I got one of these yesterday. She says, listen, I got to go. And she just shut the door on me without even saying bye or anything. And I was so bummed out I didn't get to meet Andre Iguodala. But, yeah, that's my lame story.
That's not bad. That's not bad, Lobo. Yeah. We're going to throw it out to the listener whether they think it's – it was forthright of you to ask for a signature when you knew damn well that package
maybe that
didn't need one.
Norm would say that.
You know, I don't want to get back into the cheating conversation, but
he was bending them a little bit.
Actually, that to me is like, that's okay. That's like kind of harmless. Yeah, that to me is not a
little
big
white
thing.
Lie.
I try to do something like that. Okay, some more news. The 49ers injuries, that's going to mean Manuel Mosley, DJ Reed, Marcel Harris likely to get the starts this week. Tarvarius Moore probably going to get more playing time this week, too. So the 49ers secondary is going to be banged up against the Atlanta Falcons.
Wow.
So here we go, getting ready for that one. Let's quick go to Ryan. Ryan's in South San Francisco. What's going on, Ryan? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Listen to you guys all the time. Appreciate
Sweet.
My call.
So, thank you.
First time I called, finally got the courage. I got a quick story. I grew up in the Bay Area. One of my favorite heroes, Barry Bonds. So in year 2000, Pac-Bell Park, well, Oracle Park now, but it was Pac-Bell Park back then, I got a job as an usher. One of the rules there was you're not allowed to ask for autographs or pictures from any of the players. So I would see Barry Bonds all the time. I was never allowed to ask him anything. I could always say, hey, good game. Last year, I met Shell on Hickey. Putting gas in my car, a white Range Rover pulls up, and off the corner of my eye, I see someone walking towards the door, and I turn my head, and I'm like, oh, shoot, that's Barry Bonds. So I stop pumping my gas, and I go inside, and, you know, he's saying hi to everybody, and he finally walks out, and he looks at me, and he goes, yeah, I noticed that you were following me inside, and I said, I'm so sorry to bother you. You're one of my biggest heroes, you know what I'm saying, like, to be able to finally meet you. And I told him the whole story, how I used to work at the ballpark, and we were never allowed to ask you for autographs and pictures. Long story short, he stopped, put his arm around me, took a picture with me, and, man, that's made my day. It was like one of those things of growing up as a kid, you know, you to get that opportunity to meet a hero that you idolize and that you see every time, and just for him to stop and put his arm around me and take a picture with me, that was like one of those greatest moments. And then I took off back to work, and I was telling everybody, like, yo, I just met Barry Bonds at the gas station. And one of the coolest guys, you know, because everyone says that he could be, you know, he could be a
right
dude, but
little
he was actually really cool. And then when other people saw me taking pictures, they walked over to him. He took a couple pictures, and then he hopped in his car and said, sorry, guys, I got to take off. But for him to stop, take pictures with me,
no doubt,
two other people, I thought it was one of the greatest moments of my life to meet Barry Bonds.
Wow. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you sharing. Absolutely.
Barry.
Appreciate you sharing there.
Very cool.
Got some. Oh, by the way, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Brown and Tolan. We were talking about somebody just a day or two ago, and turns out this person is in the news today. And I want to talk about that when we come back. And we've got Ian Williams, too, on the other side. Brought to you by Brown and Tolan Physicians. I'm sorry, Brown and Tolan's physicians, doctors know the best care for you because they take the time to get to know you. And with over 2,700 primary care and specialty physicians working in seven Bay Area counties, you're sure to find the best doctor for you. Visit brownandtolan.com today.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, let's head right to the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls, connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. Former San Francisco, former 49er joining us, Ian Williams. Ian, thank you so much for joining us. It looks like the defensive secondary is going to be shorthanded. What's your concern level going into this game with the Falcons, particularly after that brutal three-game stretch and then the two they have before the end of the season?
My concern is more of not having Richard Sherman on the field, Jaquaski Tart on the field. You know, guys that have been, you know, all season long been kind of like the mediators out there, like kind of slow everything down and help guys, you know, get in the right position, you know, hype up guys and stuff like that. Not having those guys on the field, you know, worries me a little bit, but I feel like we'll be okay with Akello and Mosley and Dante Johnson bringing him back. I feel like he had some good reps, some good plays early in the season when he was on the team. They brought him back for a reason, obviously, because, you know, he's shown the ability to be able to grasp the defense and not be able to, you know, get beat for big plays. But definitely on the back end, just not having those guys, just having the awareness of having those, like, those vets back there, knowing that, you know, they'll feel safe and stuff like that. But I'm really not too worried about it.
Ian, speaking of the defense, I'm still recovering from that great game in New Orleans, and Richard Sherman was out there, and Drew put, you know, they set the defense has set the bar so damn high, they give up 46 points. I saw you on the post game, you did a great job, but when you're driving home and you're thinking about that game, they got the W, how much of the fact that you gave up 46 do you focus on, and now you got guys dropping like flies? What happened in that game for Drew to get put up 46 points, I guess I'm asking?
Well, I mean, obviously it's Drew Brees, so, you know, they're going to put up points. They have a potent offense. So there were a couple times, you know, we were out of our gaps, you know, on the defensive front. You know, guys missed tackles. You know, Alvin Kamara, like a throw, you know, throw to the flat to Alvin Kamara. You know, a guy missed a tackle there and there. He'll get 15, 20 yards. And then, you know, Akello, you know, he got beat on a touchdown to Michael Thomas and stuff like that. So, you know, there were things happening, especially early in the game with the two touchdowns that Jared Cook, you know, being able to put the ball up there to him like that. You know, obviously, they're going to make plays like that. But, you know, on the 49ers end, they need to be able to obviously go over the film, which I'm sure they did all week long, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and went over the film to really correct, because that was really the first time that a team had really put up, you know, numbers like that against them, you know. So, obviously, that doesn't happen often. So, you know, little things like, you know, Dre Greenlaw, hey, you know, when Jared Cook is, you know, next to the tackle at number three and he runs outside and then up, you know, kind of get a jam on him to not, you know, to help out Akello on that side so that he doesn't have a receiver running the fade route and then also another receiver or a tight end, you know, kind of, you know, 5 yards away from him, you know, kind of get them on different levels. So, if they're on the same levels, now it's 2-on-1 on Akello. So little things like that. And then Fred Warner being able to, you know, win Jared Cook's at the number three, knowing that if they're 3-by-1, knowing that the big play, like they like to run, especially, you know, cover three beaters, is running that tight end across the formation, you know, to the other side of the numbers. And him being able to see that and looking for work and being able to slide back and be able to, you know, contend or be able to pick that pass off. So little things like that. You know, hopefully, you know, they get it corrected this week. You know, you have another guy coming in with, you know, star potential Julio Jones that they're going to try to get the ball to. You know, Calvin Ridley is out. They have another good tight end in Austin Hooper. So, you know, they have the Falcons have those same threats. And Matt Ryan, you know, has proven that he can do it on the big moments and stuff like that. So, hopefully, you know, we got those things corrected.
And does the depth of the D-line now concern you with all these injuries? DJ Jones, Ronald Blair, DeMontre Moore, D Ford, we just got word from Ian Rappaport, he's going to be out until the playoffs. Does the depth now concern you now that Bosa has to play more snaps and Buckner and Armstead has to play more snaps? What does that mean for the defenses, and does that concern you?
Oh, yeah, it concerns me a lot. Obviously, everything we talked about preseason and early in the season was the depth of the D-line and them being able to rotate guys. And, you know, guys are going and they're playing, you know, 30, 35 snaps, 40 snaps a game at the most, you know, being able to rotate and stay fresh out there. And now you got guys later in the season, they're playing those guys, those same guys, Bosa, Armstead, Defoe, you know, they were playing 35, 40 snaps. Now they're playing 60, 70 snaps. So you're starting to see the level of their play kind of taper off because they're playing more snaps. And, you know, they don't have the luxury of having to rotate and DJ Jones and Ronald Blair and those guys out there being able to take some reps. Now, you know, with DJ, you know, being the biggest guy on the D-line, you know, I feel like that's probably going to be the biggest loss to us, you know, going further because, you know, he was kind of that guy in the middle who took on two double teams and took on two people so that Greg Greenlaw and Fred Warner could, you know, run free and stuff like that. But, you know, now this is it's another opportunity for younger guys to be able to step in. This is why you drafted Solomon Thomas. This is why you kept him on the roster so that if anything like this were to happen, now he can step in. You know, he's stepped in at the defensive end spot with D4 being out, and he's done a pretty good job out there. Now he's going to have to bulk down and, you know, hold that double team and stuff like that for linebackers and Sheldon Dane and Tavius Street, and hopefully we can get Julian Taylor back. You know, I really liked how he plays and stuff like that. But, you know, you have four guys with opportunities who can step up on the front side, and I feel like obviously you have the other three, DeForest, Eric, and Nick Bosa, who obviously need to step up even more. Not saying that they didn't step up before, but now they need to step up a little bit more and have an even bigger impact on the game for the defense.
Ian, we always or sometimes talk about the mindset of the players or the mindset of a certain player. You know, I'm looking at this schedule. You beat the Packers. You hang with Baltimore. You beat the Saints. Now the Falcons come in, and you know you have the Rams and Seattle waiting. Is it hard to keep the mindset that this game Sunday's as important as any game you've played, or is it easy because players are conditioned not to look ahead?
I mean, you're conditioned to not look ahead, even though you kind of know the schedule of what's coming up. You still have to focus on the game, you know, up at hand. You know, you have to worry about, you know, as of right now, the 49ers hold their own destiny of trying to get home field advantage and trying to get that first round bye, which they desperately need with all these injuries, you know, starting to add up towards the end of the season. So, you know, knowing little things like that. So I'm sure they've talked about it in meetings, you know, Monday, Tuesday, when they have their team meeting. And now, hey, guys, you know, Kyle Shanahan's talking about, hey, guys, you know, this is where we're at right now in the season. You know, this is where we're at. We you know, we hold our own destiny. We need to win these next three games to get the first round bye. You guys want a first round bye, right? And I'm sure everybody says, yeah, you know, we want a first round bye, da-da-da. Everybody's clapping in the room. Now we need to go out there and handle business. This is what we need to do. So I think guys are already on board. You know, they did their charity you know, events and stuff earlier in the week, and you know, they got their practices in. And I feel like, you know, obviously the mindset of the guys. I was in the locker room on Wednesday, so you know, guys, it was, you know, just a normal Wednesday, and I feel like guys are already, you know, really prepared for what the Atlanta Falcons are going to bring, and try to, you know, bring the energy early. Hopefully, that's the main thing that they bring. Because, you know, when last time they were home and they were playing against Arizona, you know, playing against the better team, they probably lose that game. But, you know, right, they need to come out with more energy. And I feel like having George Kittle, you know, back on the field is going to help them so they don't, you know, come out flat like they did against the Arizona Cardinals at home.
Ian, let's talk coaching. I'm looking at the Baltimore Ravens, phenomenal year, but yet they were a playoff team last year. I'm looking at Pittsburgh. You got to give Tomlin all the credit in the world, but I'm also looking at this Niner team that had questionable D-line guys with Armstead, Buckner. We didn't know if Shanahan and Lynch, you heard the rumors they were on the hot seat. I guess what I'm getting at is nobody had this team 11-2. When you look at it in totality, who is your NFL coach of the year? Because mine is Kyle.
I mean, you have to there's a lot of good teams. I mean, you have to understand what both the Buffalo Bills are doing up in Buffalo. They're playing really good. You know, obviously Baltimore is playing really good. The 49ers are playing real good. And then Seattle's playing really good. So you have a couple of teams with some great head coaching and some coaching positives that are going on with those teams. But Kyle Shanahan, I feel like obviously with what he's been able to do with the roster in the past couple of years and John Lynch, from where they were in 2017 and where they were in 2018 once Jimmy G got hurt, and then for them to step into 2019 and, you know, rattle off and pretty much be undefeated going into half of the season. And then, you know, even those two games that they did lose, you know, it was, you know, 6 points in difference, 3-3. So knowing that and knowing the roster that they had, you know, previous, and then knowing, you know, Baltimore, obviously they had a playoff roster. They had one of the best, you know, athletes in the game on the planet Earth, you know, with the ball in his hands at all times with Lamar Jackson. But I feel like overall what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have been able to do, you have to give the coaching award to Kyle Shanahan, especially with his play calling. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but if you watch that game on Sunday against the New Orleans Saints, like, he was calling up some plays, wasn't he?
Oh, he was in his bag, Ian.
He was in his bag. He was dialing them up. And, like, think about it, as a defense player being on the field, and then all of a sudden Kyle Juszczyk has the ball. He's pitching it to Raheem Mostert and stuff like that. And then you got end the round of reverse to Emmanuel Sanders. Oh, no, it's a throw to Raheem. Like, think about that. Being a defensive player, like, oh, yeah, I feel like I'm prepared for the San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan. I'm prepared. No, you're not. We're going to put up 48 on you. You're not prepared. But, you know, stuff like that, that's why you have a great coach to be able to throw defenses off and throw defense coordinators off, and they're not, and have guys out on the field and not be prepared. So, you know, looking at the whole spectrum of what Kyle Shanahan's been able to do this season, play calling,
right,
getting this roster to where it is right now, I mean, he, you know, hands down, you have to give him the head coaching award of the year.
Former 49er, 95.7 The Game insider Ian Williams here on 95.7 The Game. Ian, you're right, Shanahan was in his bag. He went deep into that playbook, and it seems like now he has to trust in Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo, probably his best game as a 49er, throwing dimes all over the field, slinging it, of course, to 4th-and-2 play to George Kittle. We had a lot of fun earlier this week, Steiny Guru and I, basically talking about Jimmy Garoppolo in the MVP conversation. Steiny believes Jimmy G is in the top three. I say hell no to that. Maybe top seven, maybe. Where do you have Jimmy G when it comes to the MVP conversation, knowing that Lamar Jackson is probably the front runner?
Man, I could tell you one thing. Jimmy G has been playing, you know, and I like to see this as a player, and I'm sure the front office likes to see this even more, of him progressively getting better each and every week. Think about it from back from when they played the Chiefs in the preseason game. Everybody's like, oh, what the hell was that? I don't know. This he's the guy. And then, you know, he got better week one, week four, week five, and then, you know, Halloween at Arizona, you know, having to step up, and then, you know, Sunday against the Saints, and then him just, you know, pretty much getting better each week, and then also having the trade of Emmanuel Sanders really helped him, and then it also helped Debo, because now Debo's not the number one receiver, so he's been able to open up and, you know, get some plays down the field. But just looking back at what Jimmy G's been able to do this season and the success that he's had this season, also leaning on the run game, like, you have to understand the run game has really helped him, because the run game helps the play action game, and that helps George Kittle and everything. It opens up everything on the back end. So you got to take all that into account. But with him not having a true number one receiver for pretty much half the portion of the season, having George Kittle out for a few games, having Joe Staley, having Mike McGlinchey out, you know, having all these guys out, you know, and then him being able to still be able to get better each week. I mean, you have to give him some respect and understand, you know, where he is on the MVP ballot. You know, you still have to, as of right now, Lamar Jackson is the MVP, because the most valuable player is the MVP. You know, if you were to take that player off that team, would that team still be able to produce and get have a win total of what they have? And if you took Lamar Jackson off that team, they wouldn't be near as good as where they are right now. If you took Jimmy Garoppolo off of this team and you had Nick Mullins or you had C.J. Beathard, maybe, you know, they still, you know, win these games because they have such a great defense. They have such a great ground game. But you have to understand, Jimmy G's been able to manage the offense and get the points up and be able to help the defense out and keep them off the field. So I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, you have to give it to Lamar Jackson, unless there's some kind of catastrophic difference, or Russell Wilson just takes away these next three games, or Jimmy G comes out and he just balls for 400, 500 yards these next three games, and, like, you have to give it. I don't know, man. Ian, come on.
Wow. Ian, you know I love you, man. You know I want to play in, man. We got the sticks over here. I dropped 50 on Guru the other day, but nobody cares about that. But Ian, Nick Mullins, come on. I know. He's a nice young player, but if Nick Mullins is starting on his football team, you think the Niners maybe are like
this defense? You had a Bonte with this defense.
Oh, man. Jimmy Garoppolo been making some plays, man. I don't know about that one. He has been.
But early in the season when they were running the ball so well, I mean, Jimmy G didn't really have to have any kind of spectacular game. Look at his stats.
That's true. No, season. You're right there. You're right there.
Mullins or C.J. Beathard could have possibly managed those games to get, you know, get the ball down the field and score points. And then later in the season, now with the game changing and injuries and not being able to run the ball and the defense kind of suffering, now, obviously, you know, having Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard out there, now you probably struggle a little bit. Now you need Jimmy G. But early in the season, I feel like Nick Mullins and C.J. could have easily won some of those games. Look back at Jimmy G's stats. You know,
I know.
Yards and stuff like that. It's not like, oh, anything impressive what he's doing right now. So, yeah, that's why I'm at with that.
You the man, Ian.
Hey, Ian, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, man.
See you on Sunday.
Sure, man. I'll see y'all on Sunday.
See you Sunday. Right.
That's Ian Williams for the San Francisco 49er. I'm not sure our listeners understand kind of the adversity we're going through right now in the middle of the show.
It's bad.
I mean, you probably can't tell out there, and that's because we're professionals. But we're hurting. We're hurting inside this studio.
Man.
Let me just read
Bonte's an got his hood
just,
on.
Just read an email. And hopefully I won't get fired for this, but I'm going to read a company email. Hi, guys. The shuttles have arrived and are ready to start taking people over to the party. They're parked outside of our building. There's one white van and one black SUV, and they can take up to 20 people at a time. Feel free to head down anytime and head over to the party.
What?
See you all there. And
no,
it's signed by somebody who's the general manager.
The big dog.
I mean, listen, we're going to make it happen.
That's wrong.
We're going to make it happen. We're going to get through it, but
not only that, Stein. Jeez.
I've never not liked you two as much.
But it's like they cut the heaters off too. We're here freezing.
It's
like
cold in here.
Like
today.
It's
Lambeau. I got a shirt.
I feel like we're Lambeau Field, man. I got a hoodie on over the headphones, man. I'm freezing. It's
they can at least got us lunch,
dude.
Thank you.
Some food back.
Peppers
look, we come out here, hook them up. Lumpias.
Yeah.
We've had people bring food in here for us. The wings. Remember the wing guy, DJ?
Yeah.
Brought wings.
Taco Bell. So damn good.
I bet
they probably were getting
Taco
after
Bell.
It on the party bus over to the party.
You think
so? They call that pregame.
Oh, man. Odds that somebody brings us back a plate of food.
No chance.
Who are fucking this
dude? Selfish. It's selfish.
Young. Oh, yeah,
it's nothing but selfishness and greed. Is what
wow.
It is.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
Let's I want to get to Carter. Carter wants to talk about the Raiders and responding to Mr. Brown's call. Hey, Carter, what's going on? The floor's yours.
Oh, man, gentlemen, good show so far. And you know what? My blood was boiling.
That's why I didn't take you right away. Hey, Carter, I had to wait 10 minutes because I saw your blood was boiling. That's how you were described. So I said, let's give him a little time to cool down.
So look, that previous caller that said, hey, it might be a good thing that the Raiders are moving to Vegas because they get a new venue and blah, 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 blah. That is all totally incorrect. What really makes my blood boil is when people begin to absolve the owner, Mark Davis, for his lack of leadership and getting the deal done here in Oakland. Don't blame the city. Don't blame the county. Don't blame the A's. The owner of the Raiders is Mark Davis. And even though he's not the majority owner of the team, it's his responsibility to try to go ahead and figure out a way to keep that team, the Oakland Raiders, in Oakland. No one else's but his own. Don't come out to the fans and tell us, I need some help. Don't come on TV and, again, try to displace the blame here. Try to play us against San Antonio. Try to get the league to flip-flop. Try to go to L.A. If you really love the fans, if you want to do what's best for the team, it was best for him to try to keep the team in the city of Oakland. I've calmed down some, but I just had to get that off my chest because that just kills me. I could go into more details about the actual deal itself, but at the end of the day, it's on him to get the job done.
Thank you, Carter. Appreciate it. Mm. Appreciate it. And
you feel how you feel.
Absolutely. Real quick, let's go to Heva. Heva's in Danville. He's got a cool story about meeting somebody cool. What's up, Heva?
Yeah, hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so I just wanted to give a quick story of when I was living in Seattle, and I took my son to a Raider-Seahawks preseason game. It was the fourth one, last one of the last year, and I got front row tickets behind the Raiders bench. And all game, I brought my son to kind of, you know, use them as like a little bit of like a, hey, can we get a signature, get a picture, somebody come over. All game, my poor like 2.5-year-old was like screaming, can you sign my helmet? I was like feeding him words to say. And nobody walked over. Nobody even looked our way till like 2 minutes left, I think in the fourth quarter, yeah. And Marshawn Lynch, he was playing with this ball all game long. And he all of a sudden, like, looked over to our area, pointed, and then, like, brought over a security guard. And the security guard walks over with the ball, hands it to us. And I look on it, and it was signed by him. And it was super cool. And, like, everyone in that area who were Seahawks fans and Raider fans came over and were like, oh, can we take a picture with your son and the ball? Because they're all, you know, Marshawn Lynch fans.
Right.
Well. You know, so anyways, it was just.
That's
really
cool.
Cool thing. It was my son's first game, first ever encounter. He talks about it till today, and like I have the ball still, and like it's in a little glass case, and yeah, it was super neat. So
great story, Heva. Thank you so much.
Shout out Oakland, California.
That's a good. That's good stuff.
Good stuff.
Sean Lynch, a lot of kids.
I saw him jogging this morning, right out front. I didn't want to roll the window down to caddy.
50-50 chance it was actually him.
Oh, it was him. Everybody, all the workers stopped taking pictures.
He's got a big butt.
See.
That's yeah. That's his
wrong. Yeah, I think
what?
The drop, the timing.
What did it say? I was focusing on the next thing I was going to say.
He's got a big butt.
Yeah. Oh. we're talking about this actor the other day, Danny Aiello.
Yeah, Sal.
He passed today. And he was, of course, Sal in Do the Right Thing, owner of Sal's Pizzeria.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And he had no black men on the wall, black people on the
Sal,
wall.
Yo, Sal, why ain't no brothers on the wall? No brothers.
Only Italian Americans.
And that guy who asked him that is in Godfather of Harlem.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He is Godfather of Harlem. Right. Yeah.
No, there's another character.
Yeah. I've had over 40 pizzas
John Turturro.
In the last 30
days. John Turturro was also in that movie.
Oh, he was in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff, Donnie.
Just a great
classic.
Movie.
Yeah. Classic.
Great movie. You know, Sal's Pizzeria was the thing that ended up getting burned down.
Oh, man. Yep.
And yet Sal's
Over
Pizzeria
nothing.
Was the one place where
everybody could kind of hang
exactly.
out.
What about
hang out in front?
Michael nothing. Jordan, they're different. Magic Johnson.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, remember when the guy with the bird jersey stepped on Spike Lee's
Jordan's?
Yeah.
Yep. Stepped on his shoes. Oh, man.
That was Spike's best work. I'm sorry.
He's had a couple. He's had a few. He's
the bird green jersey.
And gosh, what was the name of that actor? The white guy. I can't remember. It was like.
That narrows it down. give us more.
I can see you're a little salty about the party.
Oh,
me too.
Oh, hey, we're all salty, man. Yeah. They got us in this cold studio. Yeah. They cut the heater off.
I was trying to hide that I was cold.
I wonder if they used the money they paid the PG&E bill to fund this holiday party.
Wow.
I mean, is intercom scraping like that? Are they like, what's going on?
Go there.
Yeah.
Somebody might take something the wrong way.
All right, I'm kidding. It's a joke.
We're just a joke.
Play the back the truck.
Back the truck up, flipper. I'm kidding. I know the heater works. We just have it down to like 58 degrees. Wink, wink.
Stoddy likes it cold.
We're just feeling a little left out. That's
no
all.
Doubt. It's real.
All right, we come back. We're waiting, possibly hooking up with Ice Cube. Ice Cube, a big Raider fan, obviously. Also runs the 3-on-3 league, which has turned into a success.
Big three.
Joe Johnson got the call up.
And that'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.